Irirangi Poho, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Wire on 95BFM. Also in attendance at Turanga Waiwai Marae for the Kingitaha held Hui a Motu on Saturday was author and professor of Māori studies at the University of Auckland, Margaret Mutu. Margaret and I had a kōrero about the hui and what movements we can expect to see from Māori in order to protect te tiriti, particularly around Waitangi Day next month. We spoke about the notable absence of Christopher Luxon, Winston Peters and David Seymour from the event on Saturday, and what she believes both Māori and non-Māori need to be doing in order to protect te reo Māori, tangata whenua and te tiriti o Waitangi under the current government. So how far will the success and large turnout of iwi Māori at Saturday's hui solidify the kingitanga as an influential form of Māori leadership during this term of government?
So the kingitanga brought us all together, but for particularly those of us from the north, we're not actually part of the kingitanga. But the kingitanga does enjoy considerable respect within Māoridom. And that, you know, it spoke volumes that they were able to bring in between 10 and 12,000 of us together when Māoridom was all under attack. Going forward, they are looking to take this kotahitanga hui to the four winds. So they will go to Ratana this week. They will go to Waitangi next week and the week after. And then they will also, they've called for hui to be convened in the South Island and on the East Coast as well. So the kingitanga will feature, but as they go to the different places, then the iwi from those places will be playing the leadership roles.
And so what sort of strategies or action plan have we seen come out of the hui moving forward for protecting te tiriti?
Okay, so the main thing that came out was that we would never listen to anyone who tells us we can't be Māori anymore, because that's the very clear message coming out from this government. And we said, no, we are Māori. We will continue to be Māori and we will be proud to be Māori. We would also adhere very, very firmly to te tiriti o Waitangi, as the founding constitutional document, assertions that it is not a constitution were not accepted by the hui, and so this is the written constitution of this country, is Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Remembering that there is a parent document that preceded Te Tiriti o Waitangi, and that's Te Hakaputanga o Te Rangatiratanga o New Tirini, which in English is referred to as the Declaration of Independence or the Declaration of Sovereignty, that was signed up to in 1835. So the hui was really, really clear that those two documents are the written constitution of this country. Also very clear that it's not for Wellington to tell us what to do, it's not for government or parliament to tell us what to do. Under Te Tiriti, we were guaranteed our own tino rangatiratanga, our own mana, to make our own decisions about our own lives, and to be who we are without any interference from anyone. And that was a very clear message that people took home, that they would take control of their lives instead of always being dictated to by people who really had no understanding what it is to be Māori in this country.
What impact did the absence of Christopher Luxon, Winston Peters and David Seymour have on the atmosphere at Turanga Waiwai Marae, and what sort of lasting impact will we see this have on discussions moving forward?
Not at all, really. People came together at Turanga Waiwai because Māori were under severe attack, and we are under severe attack. And the speeches which were delivered early on in the piece to set the tone for the hui talked about the fact that we were being vilified as a people, that we were being demonized as a people, and that there was a lot of hatred out there being channeled towards us, and that we should not absorb that, that we should not reply or respond in kind, but that we should rise above it and take a very, what we would call a rangatira approach to it, a very dignified approach, knowing that we are the mana whenua of this country. We are the indigenous people of this country, and that we're very proud of that. So I did not detect negativity in there. There were comments about David Seymour in particular, but that's all it was. There were comments about Winston Peters, but a lot of it was done in a very offhanded manner because we really don't take them seriously. And I don't recall, well, maybe there was comment about Christopher Luxon. I don't know. I don't recall it. But certainly a very clear message to Tamapōtaka as the Minister of Māori Development and any other Māori MPs who were there, that their job in Parliament was to absolutely ensure the protection of te tiriti or waitangi, that they were not to allow it to be interfered with, fiddled with, abolished, which is what David Seymour is trying to do. And they were given very, very clear instructions on that. Don't know that they liked it very much, but those were the instructions that were given. Also very, very clear that the Hui considers this current three-headed government to be a white supremacist government, and that was very clear as well.
With Waitangi Day approaching shortly, what significance will the day have this year in particular?
So every Waitangi Day at Waitangi, the government does, if you like, have a report card delivered to it on how well it has done in the past year. Now, of course, this new government has been quite abysmal, and I have no doubt that will be reflected there. But what the government has to recognise is that when you do not honour te tiriti, when you demonise and vilify Māori, they will come to Waitangi to tell you, this is what te tiriti promised us, and you will adhere to te tiriti. Now, how the politicians take that, it's, you know, remains to be seen. Many politicians in the past have taken huge offence being told that they are not honouring the treaty. But this is a message that has been delivered to government after government after government. And I would have hoped that by now they would have realised that those words that are delivered at Waitangi are not empty. They are a very clear assessment of how well a government has performed, and they are very, very clear, truthful messages about this is how Māoridom are feeling about what your government has done to us, and it's up to the people how they deliver that message to government.
How important are hui and large gatherings of iwi like Saturday in solidifying the place of te reo Māori within our society?
Oh, hugely, hugely important. Whenever anything comes under attack in the Māori world, the first thing you do is you call a hui. And you call the hui to make sure you understand what is happening to you, and also so that you can gather strength to be able to protect yourselves from the onslaught that's coming in. And in the process of protecting yourself, you look back to the principles that, you know, the principles and the values that we've been brought up on to see whether they can and will protect us. And every time, every hui that I have been to like this in the last 40, 50 years, it's always been the same. Your full protection and your full right to be who you are lies within your language. The language is there as a vehicle to convey the Māori culture, Māori understandings of the world, Māori values. They are all embedded in the language. The best way to express them is in te reo Māori. You must preserve te reo Māori. I have never heard a different message from that in the last 50, 60 years. It's always been the same. And we always come back to it because we just say to each other, look at the way we say things in te reo Māori. And it's not about denigrating people. It's not about attacking them for who they are. It's about upholding who people are, recognizing and respecting everybody as having a legitimate place in this country and a legitimate right to be who they are and to have that respected. And that is, it's really easy to express that in te reo Māori because that's what our culture is. It's about having aroha to everyone. So having, it's often translated as love, but it's actually empathy, often sympathy, but just understanding other people. And then manaaki manuhiri, looking after the people who come as your guests. I mean, you saw a marvellous example of that on Saturday with how well the kingitanga looked after all of us who turned up there. Even if there were far too many of us, it didn't matter. They still looked after all of us. And it's those sorts of values that will always be automatically able to be expressed through the Māori language. And the Māori language, therefore, must always be spoken wherever we can, however we can, and our children and grandchildren must absolutely be speakers of the reo, unlike my generation who were not allowed to speak the reo. Certainly my children, not so much my children, but my grandchildren, absolutely, they will have the reo and they will be fluent in it, and it will survive, thrive, and be something that the whole country can be proud of.
Finally, the invite to the Hui a Motu was extended to both Māori and non-Māori. Do you think that non-Māori New Zealanders are currently showing up and doing enough to protect te tiriti?
No, I don't. It's actually a very good question. I can't get a quantifiable estimate of how many do actually understand te tiriti. In order to understand te tiriti, you've got to understand he hakaputa. And I can't get a real understanding of how many there are. Because in order to help Māori, in order to support us, you must have a good understanding of what was promised in te tiriti in particular. Now, there are a large number of Pākehā groups out there who strongly support us, a very large number. But I don't know how many people that actually is. And one of the things that my own iwi of Ngāti Kahu said was we must call on our tauiwi allies. Now, what we mean by that is not just Pākehā, that we must call on our relations from the Pacific, on our relations from Asia, and from those who have come to us on many occasions to say they want to support us. We need to put the call out for them to please come. Now, we do need help. And where we need help is we want Pākehā, non-Māori, we want them to stand in the front line and say to the government, this is not the way to treat the mana whenua of this country, the Māori people, the indigenous people of this country. Stop treating them like this, and for them to address the government's racism, that it's freely and unashamedly demonstrating at the moment in a way that I just find quite stunning. But we do need help from Tawiwi and particularly from Pākehā, because what we've always found is that when Pākehā have a go at the government, when Pākehā challenge the government, there is a much greater probability that the government will listen, because governments are invariably Pākehā dominated, in this case white supremacists, and they will listen to their own. That is what we have noticed in the past. They don't listen to us, but they will listen to their own. And so, as I say, the call has gone out for Pākehā in particular, but also our Pacific Island relations, our Asian relations, and all people to come in and act as a buffer between us and the government, so that when the government throws this hatred at us, that there are those there who support us who say, no, government, that is not the way to treat the people who invited you here and gave you a place to live here, and you treat them with such huge disrespect and racism. But it's Pākehā in particular who need to tell that story. But as I said, they must have a good understanding of Te Tiriti and, of course, He Haka Putanga, in order to be able to help us in a way that is constructive.
That was Professor Margaret Mutu speaking to me about Saturday's Hui e Motu, hosted by the Kingitaha at Turanga Waiwai Marae, and what more needs to be done to protect Te Reti o Waitangi.